Hey, this is Leo Cologne.
And this is Rebecca Cologne.
This is a Parents Initiative podcast, and we want to thank you for joining us.
We hope that this could be used as a tool that will create an awareness in you as parents to take the initiative in becoming and being the parents that God has called you to be.
For us, it's not about being the perfect parent, but it's about each day making progress, each day moving forward and becoming a better version of yourself.
So you can give others the best version of you as a spouse, parent, family member, and friend.
Welcome to the 36th episode of the Parents Initiative podcast. This is your host, Leo Cologne, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hey.
Now, today we have a special guest that we are really excited about that we're going to introduce here in a few moments. But before we do that, we want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen, because you are saying that parenting is important to you. You may have little ones at home, and you may not have little ones at home. It doesn't matter. Every one of us has an opportunity to make an impact in someone's life. And we're so glad that you decided to join us. Congratulations on that. So joining us for this episode, we have Jody Dice, who is the director of Say Something School Assemblies. He also has some other titles.
Yes, that he will tell you all about.
That he will let us know. I figured it'd be better for him to kind of give us the 411, because I will not do as good a job. So I know Jody will definitely let us know what he is all about, but he is a director of Say Something School Assemblies, and he's going to let us know a little bit about himself.
Yeah, I just turned 50 years old just this past December. So my wife and I, Wendy, we celebrated 30 years of marriage this past year. Thank you. We have two beautiful daughters, 28 and 26. Alicia's 28. Emily is 26. Emily is single and looking, and I need a good son-in-law because I need more grandbabies, because Alicia's already given me three grandbabies. So we've got a six-year-old grandson by the name of David Asher, three-year-old grandson by the name of Silas Jude, and a granddaughter now, 2 years old, Naomi Ann. So they actually just got hired to be the youth and worship pastors at the church we attend. So it was kind of one of these fun, exciting surprises that we got. We travel a good bit. And so they kind of live with us right now for like 4 days out of the week, or, and then go back home to theirs. So the whole parenting thing, I learned that as a grandparent, all the things that I messed up as a parent, I don't care about now as a grandparent. You know, it's like, whatever you want, do whatever you want to do. This is G Diddy's house. You do what you want. But we've been in in ministry now since off and on since 91, I would say, 92, I think. Youth pastoring for most of those years, some children's ministries. In some form of fashion, bivocational all the time. Became full-time missionaries as Youth Alive missionaries for the state of Mississippi and Louisiana. And through that, partnered up with the organization that I'm with now, the other title that you were trying to figure out with Free International, where I'm the National Director of Student Outreach and Awareness, and trainings thrown in there. You could probably throw in a few other titles in there too. Things of responsibilities that we do. But we partnered with them to help do school assemblies in New Orleans around the Super Bowl. They were wanting to develop a school assembly that brought attention to human trafficking. And it just started burning in our hearts from there that we actually jumped from Youth Alive to Free International. And from there, we created Say Something Assembly that we now travel nationwide with. We've spoken right at half a million students nationwide, from California to Massachusetts, from Minnesota to Mississippi, and everywhere in between. So.
That's awesome. That's great. And I think the first time I've known about you for quite some time, but the first time I officially met you was at a youth conference, and you showed us your mobile unit. So can you tell us about that mobile unit and what kind of experience you have and what you've done with that mobile unit?
We actually have two of those. So the one that you went through is the East Coast one. And we have another one out in Las Vegas that we run it. It actually does a few different things from this one. It looks different than the last time you saw it. It has wraps, so it has decaling and bright colors and stuff. It looks like a race car hauler kind of deal. Cool. But Speed the Light bought those. Each one of those rigs costs about $250,000 each. Wow. And so it has 8 computer stations in there where we've actually assisted law enforcement and reverse John Stings, where, you know, there was team members and law enforcement in the rig online chatting with guys, you know, stinging, that's acting like they were 14-year-old girls and stuff. And the rig in Vegas also is used as a compassion rig, where they'll actually park it out on the Las Vegas Strip with Vegas Metro PD, and they'll do what they call a sweep the strip. And they will bring all the girls that are working on the strip that night in. If they want help, they're taken out of the law enforcement rig and they're put in our rig, where they're paired up with a social worker that can help them either get out of the town, get tickets to leave, or to plug them into a crisis or help center, or even a drug rehab center if they're needing that. The other things that the rigs have been used for, we do a thing every year at the Super Bowl. We no longer go to the host city as much as we used to, but we do it in Vegas, but we host what's called a big search, and now those are going nationwide. We actually have major cities that are trying to book those. But we come in and assist law enforcement looking for missing and exploited kids that whole time while we're there. And so, like in Vegas this past year, I think we had 13 recoveries of minors that were missing and exploited, that, you know, we now were able to clear off the Child Protective Services docket for Nevada or wherever else that they were from. That's kind of growing and taking off. We've actually have a gal on our team by the name of Brad Dennis, and he kind of runs point on organizing all of those for us. And it's just all hands on deck for the team when we come in from all over the nation and suit up and go in and help them guys do what we got to do. The other part is a lot of training. We use the rigs for training. My rig's actually registered with FEMA as well. So if there's a disaster like, you know, down in Florida, you know, hurricanes and things like that roll in, that if there's a shortage of mobile units, we're a standby rig that if they wanted to book us, that we could have the rig down there for first responders to use on scene. So that's a secondary thing. We have been approved by Speed the Light. Most people understand what that is. It's kind of a faith-based grant through the Assemblies of God. We've been approved for another $1.5 million in projects, so we're getting more rigs. There'll be vans and Sprinter vans and some smaller trailers and things as well. So a lot happening.
That's awesome. And people are probably wondering why we're having you on this podcast. And I think you briefly hit on it, the sex trafficking, exploitation of kids. You know, I know that there are a lot of parents out there that are concerned about that. Sometimes they may be, I have a hard time saying it's a little bit overprotective, but I think, you know, obviously we're called to protect our kids and be aware.
That's right.
Now, my wife, she is a Law and Order Sexual Victims Unit watcher. She loves it. I also like watching that show as well. But I know you could find yourself sometimes watching those shows and creating some fears. Some things that, you know, are not really as realistic. So we were briefly talking yesterday because we were kind of just talking about what we're going to cover on this podcast. And I kind of asked you a question, and I kind of was embarrassed about it because the answer you gave me. But I know that there are some listeners right now that are listening to this, and they're thinking a lot of things. And one of the things that I've thought, you know, I have a daughter that's 8 years old, and you know, I'm constantly like thinking about things and trying to be careful and be aware. And she recently just started riding her bike and is getting really good at it. And I know that she wants to go ride out in a neighborhood, but I would like to think that our neighborhood is not really the greatest neighborhood out there. And I'm kind of leery about that. So can you speak to those parents that maybe live in somewhat some fear, maybe, you know, that have their doubts? Because I was like, I told my wife, she was like all for let her ride out in the yard.
With her watching her
from a distance. But me, I'm thinking, man, somebody could just pull up in a van and grab her and take her away, and that's the end of it.
Well, and to kind of give listeners kind of a little bit more insight, we live right behind Target. And we live in an area in which there's a lot of moving happening. There's a lot of going and coming, not just from the local neighborhood. It's a lot of coming and going from outsiders as well. So,
you know, if you could speak to those, you know, on that topic and maybe some things that will bring some, maybe, I don't know, maybe some peace or maybe even some more awareness.
Wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I've trained now over 7,000 firefighter and EMS, numerous police officers, probably over 2,000 of those in some way, and numerous educators as well. And it seems like every time we teach a training at the end of it, everyone, I'm like, man, my kid's never going to the mall again. My kid's not going to a ball game again. They're not leaving the house without a safety line attached, you know, stuff like that. And then as someone that's been in this and seeing it for so much, I don't watch documentaries on human trafficking. I don't watch movies on it. Everyone, hey, have you seen the new one? No, because I'm just going to tell you, if there's money involved, and it's even trying to raise money for certain nonprofits, most of that's over embellished anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I don't stomach it very well, because I've actually, my youngest victim that we've had recovered, our team has over 460 recoveries nationwide between the school assemblies and outreaches. Our youngest victim that's been recovered is 5 years old, and our oldest one's 40 years old, and tons of everything in between, especially mid late teens and up into, you know, early 20s. And so whenever these guys, people are talking about just like that, and I will say this right now, first and foremost, situational awareness in today's society is important. Yeah. In Walmart and Kmart, the whole nine yards. But every Facebook post about the white van cruising through your neighborhood, cruising through Walmart, cruising through Target, cruising through Dollar General, is not a human trafficker. I can just set your mind at ease right now. It could be a perp. It could be a pedophile, hands down. But most of that is overdone things. Zip ties on the back windshield wipers. That's been a thing people's talked about for the last 5 years. You know, that's a way that traffickers make you get out, or a bottle on your windshield or something like that. The thing is you need to know your surroundings and know them well. Teach your kids the dangers. The whole stranger danger thing is very important. Travel in groups, you know, if at all possible. You need numbers out there. Cause a scene. Scream, holler, kick, never make anything easy. But traffickers are opportunists. In fact, over 70% of the cases that we worked, I would be willing to say probably 75% or more, or it's what's called familial trafficking. And that's where the victim knows who's selling them, their mom, their dad, their brother, their sister, their uncles, their aunts, their cousins. Those are people that are pimping out their own kids to support, usually to support their own drug habits and things. And so after seeing that is the majority of the trafficking victims, especially of kids that we've come in contact with, if there's something that I probably am more, I would never do this, and I'm going to go overboard and say, I don't want you to do this, is sleepovers with people that I really don't know that well. Because if a family member will exploit their own kid, I don't know what they would do with my granddaughter. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so, well, those are the bag people. Those are the methamphetamine addicts, you know, or, you know, I've heard all the slangs and nicknames, but, you know, we found victims in trailer parks and campgrounds, and we found them in multi-million-dollar homes and high-end hotels.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with socioeconomics. It has to do with the perversion of what this is.
Yeah.
And it is about the money, no doubt. And there are levels of trafficking. So I would tell people, just be aware. Just like the little girl in South Carolina that was abducted, there were several trafficking organizations that were instantly putting up the fact that she was probably abducted by traffickers. No one even knew that. There's no proof of that. No one even knows what it was. And then come to find out, the guy that did it probably did sexually abuse this child, but he committed suicide after the fact. That's not a trafficker. It's just, I'm just going to say, it's a demonic possessed or demonic oppressed or influenced person that harmed a child. And so, but you do have to have wisdom. I would always say the thing that I'm probably the most concerned about our kids is not who they see coming up and down the streets. It's who that you let come into your kid's bedroom every night. And how do they come into your bedroom through your kid's video games, through their iPhones and their tablets and stuff like that. people that they're meeting online and talking with are putting up a fake reality. I mean, we can make everything look good, you know. Yeah. Trust me. My daughter, my youngest daughter, she's 26 years old. And when we take pictures, you know, at Christmas or we pose together at Thanksgiving, we're going to take 45 pictures and she's going to pick the one that slims her face and makes everything look perfect. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a fake reality. We'll never put the pictures up with our faces all trashed and stuff, you know.
Right.
So we put up what we want the world to see. Well, if we would do that in our own little social media realm, how much more would a perpetrator do that's trying to lure a kid? They actually want, when I say traffickers are opportunities, if you come above familial trafficking into any type of organized trafficking from either street level prostitution all the way up to interstate trafficking of victims and things like that, they want that victim to come to them willingly, walk out the door of a house, get in the car with someone, or go down the street, go to the corner store and meet this person that they've met online. Now, they may think they're meeting someone of their age or maybe a year or two older. And when the person gets there, they're, you know, the girl may or boy could be 15 years old and the person they're meeting is 22 or 23 and not, you know, the same age. And that happens quite a bit. But that's the way a trafficker works, because he's not going to draw attention, or she is not. Traffickers aren't just males. They're both male and female. But they're not going to draw attention to them if they can, because they're working at the same time they're recruiting.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they're constantly trying to build their, well, they call it a stable. They're trying to build their stable of who they're going to prostitute. And so that's how that normally works out. And so I tell people all the time, you come in contact with victims way more than you probably realize it. Mm-hmm. You just don't realize what they look like. But as parents, I would say one of the number one things is that education of being able to, don't run out in fear. God's word tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and of a sound mind. And that goes even into this realm. So what does love, peace, and a sound mind look like? Well, in our world, we have to love a victim that half the time doesn't, or majority of the time doesn't want to be loved. They haven't felt loved. They don't trust anybody at that point. They might not even want any contact with you, so they shun you. But you have to have that love that, you know what, I'm here because God sent me. Whether they like it or not, we're going to help them get what the help that they need. Mm-hmm. Peace, a peace that knows that, you know what, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. The influences and things of the world use wisdom, definitely, but I'm going to be at peace that know that God's taking care of the situation and that God's hands at work and what's happening in our lives. You know, the sound mind. Sound mind to me is having education. What we're talking about tonight is we're basically skipping a rock on the surface of deep stuff that you could go in and get way more training. We can do community trainings where you really, really understand what you're looking for and what to see and the dangers that are out there, the internet dangers, as well as, you know, what's in your community. And if you're looking for the wrong thing, you'll miss the bad things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I mean, for us, I mean, you know, obviously we're aware of our surroundings, but it's also important that we keep our kids accountable with the internet usage, and we're aware we have all the blocks and all that stuff.
Right. And filters and things like that, detections. But having conversations, I feel like, is way more important, and that they're using devices in public locations, like they turn them in, you know, before they go to bed at night, to where it's not,
that's like right,
after hours, you know, where you're not knowing and all those kinds of things. Don't leave just a little window of opportunities for something to happen. You know, Jody, I love that you talked about some of the things that you guys do as far as bringing awareness and kind of giving some people some insight. You know, if you had some top things to share with our listeners today, you know, maybe some signs to look for, maybe within their own communities that they're a part of, whether it's wherever it may be.
Well, as far as, and with juveniles, a lot of times you can tell by the actions of the juvenile. I will say right now, our foster care industry has produced the largest majority of the trafficking victims that are under the ages of 16 years of age. Wow. And so a lot of these students don't have a place to go. And anyone that shows them any kind of family network, regardless of the exploitation that may be involved, it doesn't make sense to us, but in their minds, they weigh the less of two evils.
Yeah.
And here's someone that's loving me. They're going to take me places. I'm going to see things. And I don't have to worry about being taken out of their home to go to another one, especially with those that are getting close to either aging out or being emancipated. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of run that. And so I encourage anyone that, especially in the foster care industry, is shore up your foster parents in your area. If you're not a foster parent, shore up the ones that you know, with, whether they're in your church or in your community. Get involved and make sure that all the needs are met to help those kids, you know, and stay in a healthy environment. Be aware of what we were just talking about. What's on your kids' social media? What's on their phones? Is their behavior changing? Does this person skip school a lot? Do they have things that you know they normally couldn't afford? Here's this 16-year-old girl. She lives in kind of a bad part of town, but all of a sudden she's got really nice purses and really nice high heels and really nice expensive clothing that her uncle or her daddy or her brother or her new boyfriend has given her all of this stuff. Or maybe they have two cell phones, one that mom and dad's given them, but all of a sudden here's a cell phone that someone else has given them. And so that's the other thing that we tell parents to watch out for, because if they are communicating with someone, we'll get that, well, I see my kid's cell phone, I know what's on it. Do they have another cell phone?
Yeah.
Well, no. Well, if you haven't checked their room, if you don't know where their favorite hiding place is, you really don't know what they've got.
Yeah.
You know, and so we encourage them to do that. We also, the other thing is, does the person, we talk about students, are they fearful? Are they anxious? Do you start seeing them being either more submissive or tense or nervous or paranoid? You start seeing a student's psychological behavior start changing beyond the whole hormone change.
Right.
You know, those are red flags. It might not be human trafficking, but it could be abuse of some sort. It could be a bad relationship or, you know, a domestic violence situation at home. Some of the red flags go hand in hand. And in fact, the psychological damage is almost hand in hand. So you'll see this person, even after you get them out, want to even go back to that person. And so those are just some of the red flags. We always tell people also, if you see people that are, you know, you're at a hotel, you're on vacation, and, you know, there's a lot of activity in the room down the hall. There's guys constantly coming and going from this hotel room and stuff. Don't try to be a cop, but, you know, there's something fishy going on there. And so you can even call the National Human Trafficking Hotline number and tip that number. And I'll give you that number. It's 888-3737-888. It's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in 172 different languages. So if there's anything that you saw that just jumps out at you that there's something wrong with this this person, or you're at a rest area traveling and here's three girls that gets out of a vehicle and two guys escort them in and they stand there and wait till these girls come out and they escort back, those are red flags. Get a make and model and tag number of the vehicle, call the number, and if you can tell them they were going north and south on what interstate or highway, that helps out. Those are just being aware of what's around without having to go into depth. The other thing is understand what the laws are. Trafficking of a minor in the United States has nothing to do with being taken around places. In fact, the name trafficking, I think, is a bad name for what human trafficking is, whether it's sex or labor trafficking. Trafficking is about the exploitation of rights. It's a violation of a person's rights through exploitation. And so for a minor, for that case to be qualified as trafficking of a minor, all you have to do is prove that there was some sort of exchange of value for the exploitation of that minor and what is considered a commercial sex act exploitation. So that could be the production of pornography or any kind of sexual act from touch or own. If you can prove that there was an exchange of value, a stay in a house or you traded drugs for something, rims, tires. I mean, I've heard all of these things. If you can prove there's just an exchange of value for the exploitation of a minor, even if the minor seems to be a willing participant, it makes it human trafficking. There's no such thing in the United States as an underage prostitute. And if we have, sadly, police departments haven't been trained enough, and they'll bust a 16-year-old girl for prostitution at a hotel when in reality she's a trafficking victim by federal law and state laws now. Over the age of 18, you have to prove force, fraud, or coercion was involved, and that gets into a whole different gamut, a whole lot of explanation of what each one of those three things are. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I have people all the time talk about prostitution and stuff, or what about the girls that do this for a living? What about the girls that like to do this or make money at this? My wife toured a legal brothel in Pahrump, Nevada. The only place in Nevada that actually has legalized prostitution. Las Vegas, it's not legal. And you have to go to Nye County to find it where it's legal. And, I mean, some of these girls are knocking down big money. But if you really started talking to them and hearing their stories, somewhere back in time, whether they were a kid or a girl, something about the value of who they were was exploited. And you could probably find force, fraud, or coercion was even involved if they were over the age of 18. A standard prostitute, if her pimp slaps her around to make her work, that's force. If he holds her money or threatens to hold her money, that's coercion. You know, fraud is, you know, promising her things that she would never get. So if you really started looking at them, that's when we adopt the victim mindset with every one of these, because every one of these girls are a child of God. They just might not know him yet. And so, you know, you have to understand that it's hard at times. I'm not going to lie. It's hard to communicate and deal with them, you know, because they've had to manipulate and control and do things to just survive on the streets. And most of them aren't willing to help you out in the case. They're afraid and they trust no one. And so these are just some of the things that when we talk about human trafficking, what it actually is. Another thing that is a danger amongst our kids with social media right now. I have parents always ask me this. This is hands down number one question. If I got a room full of parents, this is the number one question I get. What's the most dangerous app on a kid's phone today? And I've asked several experts in either the state attorney general's office or in the U.S. attorney's office. You know, I get this question all the time. What do you think it is? And the resounding answer back is all of them. Any way that if a kid can communicate with someone and delete the message or that message disappear, it's a dangerous app. Because they're doing stuff in private. So we want to talk about Kick and all these Whisper and all these other apps that are communication apps that are out there, when in reality, your iPhone Messenger, you know, can be a dangerous app. It's funny because when we do school assemblies, we would take a poll. Hey, Facebook, right? How many of y'all still use Facebook? That's your number one social media platform. About 33% of them will shout and holler that they still, you know, rock Facebook. Now, the reason is my parents are on Facebook. Too much drama on Facebook, too much politics, too much junk. Kids don't want to, they want to see a picture, swipe it off. You know, so that's why Instagram was so popular, you know. And so that kind of bumps up to probably 70-80% that they still like to use that as their social media of choice. But Snapchat's hands down still the number one. And when we tell kids that, you know, hey, we really like the fact that y'all use Snapchat because, you know, it's cool that it all dissipates and dissolves and it's gone and you don't have to worry about that was ever done. When in all reality, everything you've ever sent on Snapchat is on Snapchat's database and it is subpoenable. So it's not gone.
No.
There's no such thing as digital technology. Anything on the internet is never gone. And so when you tell that to a gymnasium full of teenagers, that's, you know, you got 1,200, you better take a deep breath because of that right there, because they're just going to suck the oxygen out the room gasping. and just case in point, I mean, in the area that we live at, a few years ago, we had an eighth grade girl took a topless picture of herself on Snapchat, sent it to her eighth grade boyfriend. who then did what every eighth grade boyfriend boy would do that's going through puberty. You know, he's gonna screenshot it and share it with 11 of his buddies that look what his girlfriend's saying. And guess what they just did? They just committed a federal felony.
Wow.
Because the girl produced child pornography, even though it was self-production. It was production of child pornography. She sent it over the internet by either using cellular data or being on Wi-Fi somewhere, but from her phone to his phone. That's interstate commerce, according to federal crimes. And it's interstate commerce of child pornography. So now here's this boy that's in possession of child pornography, and he has 11 counts of distributing child pornography himself now. And then 11 more kids that are in possession of child pornography. So how do we handle that case?
That's crazy when you think about it. Now, do you know of any, like we use, I don't know if you've heard of Bark. We use that. Mm-hmm. And long story short, you know, when we downloaded it on our phone, our son's phone, our daughter was sending him a devil emojis.
With poo-poo.
With poo-poo on. And if she got flagged. She got flagged as a bully. So, I mean, cyberbullying. So, like, just specific things that are sent. So, I don't know if you could tell any parents of any specific gaps that you're aware of that maybe could help with this that we're talking about.
There are a few. To be honest with you, there's too many back doors on all of those even.
Yeah.
Even like Bart. If you start being proactive in that, and this is kind of a fine line. How do you address this? I wish I could say I had the end all answer to this. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact, my 6-year-old grandson can probably do more on my iPad and my phone than I can do on it.
Mm.
I mean, he was just flying an $1,800 drone yesterday of mine and teaching me stuff on there that I thought I was already very good at, and here's this kid zipping it around, going, gee, watch this. Yeah. And so at the same time, you know, I've actually seen where parents would go through all of this stuff, and then when the kid's phone got dumped, they're like, you know, I had Life 360 on here. I knew where my kid was all the time. I had this Guardian app on, and they start listening to all this stuff, and all this junk was on there, and all this communication was on there. Or they do what I said a while ago. They understand that mom and dad's watching. They let this person know that they're watching every move. There's even, I'd have to put it up and share it with you, but there are actually acronyms that students will use telling someone in messaging or anything, if my mom checks my phone, there's a certain type of acronym or slang that they use, meaning that they're being hawked or watched, you know, and stuff like that. And so, in that case, that's where a lot of times if the person is a trafficker, will say, hey, I'm going to send you something, and this way you don't have to worry about it. And that's usually where that secondary phone comes in place.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah,
and so your kid looks at your phone, and you look at it, and it's like, hey, it's clean, it's good. But like I said, there's usually something else somewhere else. Or, you know, on gaming devices now.
Yep. Yeah. And it's happening. And I mean, parents sometimes they're shocked that they could have access on Switch, Nintendo Switch. They have mm-hmm. access on their little
DSs.
I didn't know.
Even leap pads and all those kinds of things has internet access. Yeah.
If it has internet access, it can be accessible. I think the number one thing though is that I tell parents because I wasn't the greatest. Even to date, we went through some really bad junk with our youngest daughter. And she didn't feel like she could come talk to dad because dad was a reactor, not a responder. Mm. And so there was many times that if she came to me, I was like my dad. I would blow up, then come back and try to sweep all the pieces back together and say, oh, I'm sorry, I overreacted. Now let's talk. Well, I'm only going to get a third of what she was going to tell me anyway at that point because, mm-hmm. you know, I done busted the trust issue with the communication. And so my deal is start now. If they're 5 years old, 6 years old, I love to watch my daughter and son-in-law with my grandkids because they talk to them. They explain to them things. They come to them, you know, like they'll come to them and say stuff. I don't think they've ever been in a situation that was even remotely close to this, but if we can open up those lines of communication where your student feels safe enough to talk, that's why we train teachers so much, because a lot of times students will talk to their teachers before they'll talk to their parents.
Right. Absolutely.
Because and if you hear some of the story teachers tell us, it's like, gosh, it's heartbreaking.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why with what we've done with Parents Initiative, we try to offer resources for even, for instance, we've talked about this series, God's Design for Sex, that we recommend highly. It starts at the ages of 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And it covers good touches and bad touches. And it opens that line of communication up when they are curious about their body and all of the different things and how they're developing. And when you can, like you said, open up that line of communication there very early and very young, to where they know that, you know what, my mom is going to tell me everything. I can ask her anything because she's a safe place, or I can ask my dad anything because he's a safe place and he is going to tell me the truth. He's not going to try to hide things from me, and having that line of communication open early is, I really do think, is key. And those out there that are listening to this, you're like, well, mine are this age and this age, just like Jody suggested, start now with communication of some sort, find a common ground, pour into that relationship. Relationship equity goes a long way. It really does. And it can
be built. And be honest in the communication.
Yes, yes.
Emily, even today with Emily, well, not today's date, but even at this age right now, because of stuff that we've had to walk through with her and some really bad domestic violence relationship and stuff that she was once in and stuff, one of the things that she wants to be able to talk to me. And so I've had to, all right, here's the rules to talking to daddy. If it's going to make me mad, I still want to talk about it. But if dad says time out, I need to walk outside and scream at a pine tree and then come back in and we'll pick this conversation up. And so we understand where the parameters of the conversation, that it's not that I'm not interested, but I might need to just take a breath for a minute,
Yeah, because that's your little girl.
That's right.
It is. And you're exactly right. We learn how to manage our emotions. And I feel like marriage and parenting helps you to learn those things very well. They can.
That's right.
They try them a lot.
And I think this is where grandparenting is coming in really cool.
Yeah.
Because Asher's my little buddy, and so when he's here, he comes and sits up in my lap with his iPad or his phone, or and me with my Bible app or whatever. Or even now, if he doesn't feel like he might could talk to dad, I'm trying to make sure that he knows that he can talk to G Diddy, mm-hmm. And or to honey, that's what they call my wife. And either one of us, you can talk to us about anything. And we're going to love you. We're going to help you, the whole nine yards. And even though they're 6 years old, that probably don't mean nothing. They're going to come talk to me because Silas jumped on his head or something. But,
Well, hey, I think we got a lot of great information on that. Now, yes. I know, and if we could talk briefly just about, because I know you do some of your school assembly programs on bullying as well. And I don't know, is there something that maybe just a few moments of – maybe some things that parents need to look for, maybe need to be aware of, whatever it may be, whatever you think would add value for a few moments?
Yeah, that's actually very special to our heart. That was actually probably one of the reasons that got us into school assemblies. I think that's some of the reasons that we've even still struggle with certain things with Emily. In 2009, she tried to kill herself because of cyberbullying. And so we basically started doing school assemblies based on that. I look back now, and they'll say in hindsight's 2020, I just thought I had a 15, 16-year-old that was going through some weird phases in life. She's changing her looks and her hair color. She used to always like to go do these things. Now she didn't even want to go to the mall. She was very meticulous about makeup. Now it was just one right after another. And then I sit back now, and I realize the reason she was doing all this was she was trying to make the bullying stop, because that was what was happening. They were criticizing her body type. They were criticizing the way that she looked. So she would always try something to make it stop, you know, to make them. And so it just killed her self-image and her self-esteem. And that was why it just finally, it's not going to get no better. Sadly, today, we deal with bullying a lot, but we have to now deal with suicide so much with bullying, because we're seeing suicides in fifth and sixth grade now. We've heard as low as third grade, but, you know, because of just some of the same dangers that we were talking about, you know, there's no filter, there's no stop of what can come on social media, you know, to a kid. And, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. It's the biggest lie that a kid's ever been told.
Yes.
Because those words just eat them up and tear them up. And there's a false reality. And I think the other part is the other thing. I think we put up so much fake reality in our lives on our social media that our kids are watching other people's fake lives and they're judging their lives by someone else's life. And when in reality, that other person's life's probably as bad or as worse than your kids, but they see this fake reality on social media, and they want these things. And so I see that suicide from that side. The bullying side, guess what, parents? Your kid can be a bully as much as they can be bullied.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, and then sometimes they can be both at the same time. Some of them can actually be, and that's their way. I've always said it before. I believe that a lot of the bullies, that's the way they compensate for being bullied.
Yeah,
and they'll turn it another way. And so again, it goes back to that communication, who's saying things. I wish that in most school districts we had a better response on how it's handled in the school district. And then another thing is, there is a difference between being bullied and someone just running into a rude classmate.
Yeah.
I think, so, again, as we over jump, oh, it's a trafficker riding down my street because a white van just came through. Instead of it's a white van that was rented by UPS to deliver Amazon packages today. Yeah. I think we get
that
the same.
That little dad,
that's over specific, isn't it? I do think that we kind of get that same perception on bullying as there's a kid walking down the hallway and another kid's just rude to him. And it's not intended to. They're not trying to make their life miserable. They're not trying to inflict any kind of harm to them or target them. It was just a burst. And then next thing you know, there's a mom sitting in a principal's office chewing them out because my kid just got bullied yesterday. And her kid couldn't even tell you the name of that kid. It was just a kid that was rude to them that day. So we've kind of dumbed down what true bullying actually is. And because we are in a hypersensitive time now, you know, everything's offensive, everything's can be overly judged and oversensitivized. And so, you know, make sure that it's bullying will always be usually a targeted attack, and it's going to be a repetitive attack. That's what makes it bullying. Whether it's cyberbullying online or physical bullying in a locker room or somewhere, it's going to be something that is perpetuated over and over again. Just rude, mean people. You're running them at Walmart. You know, you'll run into them just about anywhere in a traffic jam somewhere sometimes. But it doesn't make it bullying. And so, again, talk to your kids. Find out, is this a reoccurring thing or is it a one-time deal? Stuff like that.
That's good. That's good information. Well, listen, we thank you so much for your time. Your time is valuable. We know that you are a very busy person and you're making a huge impact in the world, impacting
well,
a lot
you
of guys. How many students do you think you've impacted with your message so far?
Right now we're right at the 500,000 mark on the school awesome. Assemblies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just this school year alone, we've probably are around the 49,000. In fact, we'll be back in Pensacola in a few weeks, doing school assemblies down there. In that we've getting tons of that. This year we probably had the largest number of mandatory reports that we've ever had. between Florida, Mississippi, Missouri, Kansas, just kids coming forward that's needing help because they've either been sexually abused, assaulted, molested, or and then some of those have been proved to be trafficking of minors, all the way to suicidal or addiction issues. We're even seeing huge addiction things connected to vaping, which is a whole other day and a whole other topic. You know?
Right. So if you were to say that, you know, what would be your greatest need? Would it be for more mobile units, more people to man those mobile units, or maybe you have a need for both? You know, how maybe some of our listeners that are listening today would say, hey, you know what, I want to partner with you and help facilitate more mobile units, or how can we get one in our area?
Or how can we have a school assembly?
Or how can we have a school assembly?
Yeah, there you go. Actually, I would say the mobile units is a major need right now. It is the National Speed the Light Project this past year. Yep. It's carrying over into this year. I just talked to headquarters on Speed the Light this past week, and so there's several churches and organizations and places that are still trying to adopt that. But at the same time, you hit the nail on the head. We have the ability for these, but we're needing missionary associates and missionaries that will say, hey, I'll man one in my area. I want to step up and take on the fight. This isn't a hot topic for us. It's not, you know, a feel good. This is the latest, newest thing, and we're going to talk about trafficking till it's the next thing. When this topic probably dies down because there's a next Knox topic that comes, we'll probably still be in the fighting human trafficking as long as the Lord tarries. And so, yeah, we need help in that area. School assemblies are that. We're trying to build more teams right now. We're trying to build a team up in Wichita, Kansas for the Midwest. We're trying to build a team out in Grand Junction, Colorado for the Southwest. And so we need to start having assembly teams staged around the country because we are getting lots of calls for assemblies. And it starts spreading you thin. And as we need more teams, we need more equipment. We bring in, you know, $35,000 to $40,000 worth of sound, lighting, and video equipment in a nice trailer onto a school campus. And we're turnkey. When we walk in, all we need is 110 volt outlets, and we set our stuff up. And we roll with it. And so, you know, with that, we need workers. I'm just going to be honest. We need money. You know, we need funding to keep those things rolling. And so you can go to any of our – we have multiple websites. We have one for Free International, which is www.freeinternational.org, O-R-G. And then Say Something has one. It's saysomethingassembly.com. And it's specific to the school assembly program. My wife and I are missionaries. That's how we do this. Neither one of these organizations pay us. We're paid by financial support from individuals, churches, and businesses as missionaries. So we have our own website, and it's Jody, J-O-D-Y, and A-N-D, Wendy, W-E-N-D-Y, Dice, long, jodyandwendydice.com. That's our personal missions email address, and website. And so it has all those links to there where you can sign up for our personal newsletter as well as give online or sign up to be a reoccurring gift or just inquire about things. There's those contacts on there. We're all on social media. You can go like Say Something Assembly. It'll be Say Something School Assembly on Facebook. It'd be real easy to recognize. It's a blue logo with a gray megaphone that has Say Something in it. And then Free International, and Free is an acronym that stands for Find, Restore, Embrace, and Empower. And so it's F period, R period, E period, E period, International. And it'll be green and black. You'll recognize it real easy, the lime green. And then we have our own social medias. My Facebook is Jody Dice. My wife is Wendy Gibson Dice. And then Jody.Dice on Instagram. And yes, what you get when you don't watch your kids.
It's actually have a fire
it's a
going
fire
on.
And the log just jumped out of the fireplace.
But it's okay.
We're good.
So all that being said, listen, I want to say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You know, me and Rebecca, we do have a heart for missionaries. You are definitely a hero. And we appreciate the sacrifice that you make on a daily basis. Know that, you know, you're making a huge impact, mm-hmm. and it really means a lot what you're doing for the kingdom and for families. And man, you're bringing restoration to families. You're saving people. And that is a huge deal. And it really means a lot. And we thank you once again for joining us on this episode. I know it's going to add a lot of value. So what we'll do in the show notes, I'm going to get all these links from you. And I'm going to put them in the show notes. That way people could easily just click on them. And we'll coordinate that. And we'll put in the show notes here so that our audience could have access to that. So we want to encourage you, if you're a listener, rate this episode. Review it. Share it with someone, especially with this topic. We covered bullying. We covered sex trafficking. We even talked about parenting and how to respond. I mean, there's a broad subjects that we talked about. So if you know anyone that could use this, be sure to share it with them. You could join our community on Facebook and Instagram and invite other people to come along.
Yeah, would you like Parents Initiative to be presented at your church, an event, your organization, Bible study? You know, be sure to contact us through our social media websites on Facebook and Instagram. You can all find all that information in the show notes. We are looking forward to linking arms with you.
And once again, we thank you, Jody. Do you have any parting words?
Man, we just thank you guys. Thank you for having us on. We are honored and humbled to be with you. We love you guys. Thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom. And just help us go after one more. That's what we're about, is reaching one more.
Well, we appreciate it. Until next week.
We thank you for joining us today, especially those of you that are faithful supporters of Parents Initiative. It's because of you we are able to put this together.
If you'd like to become a supporter, you can click on the link on the description to give now, or go to parentsinit.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on a donate button, where you can give a one-time tax-deductible gift or be set up to give monthly.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can click the share button, take a screenshot, share it on your social stories, and tag us at Parents Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us today.